Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today for the month of May. It's good to be back from India, and it's just good to see everybody. And I tell you, it was a wonderful trip, but it's always good to be home. And it's good to get all of the comments that I get from folks over the internet and from the website, and I really enjoy that. And please feel free to share and I'll try to get back in response to you. Amen. Let's go ahead and continue with Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. This will be number 22, but before we get into what the Lord would have for us tonight, I'd like to share three very important points that kind of gets our spirit pointed back to, a little bit to last month, and then we can kind of move forward. And there were three important points that we really looked at. And the first point was, the more glory we are called to requires more strengthening from God. So as God is able to, reveal His glory to us, as God is able to give us His glory, that will require more strengthening from God. Paul said that I would be strengthened with might in the inward man. That is the place that we need to be strengthened. It is not in our outward man as much as in the inward man. Because if we can allow God to strengthen us in the inward man, in those areas and those difficulties that we face in life, they won't be a problem. But it's when our outer man, when that is strengthened, then we become weak and our hands hang at our side and our knees will shake. But it's when we are strengthened in the inward man. And the second point is a very, very important point. And there is a process. And the process we defined last month, and that is training, exercising, and obeying. Let me say that again. That is key. That is the Christian walk right there. And it's the process of growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is training, it is exercising, and it is obeying. And we'll talk a little more about that tonight. And we'll probably, keep talking about that in the future, because that is the process of our Christian life, is the training that we go through. After we learn something, then we're going to exercise that. And then that will be done always through obedience. And the third point, and it's a really, it was a really quick point, but we looked at is that we must not wrestle with God or man. We looked at Jacob as he wrestled with the angel or wrestled with God. And in the end, all he got was a new name and he got a limp for the rest of his life. And we must not wrestle with God, and we, as Christians, we need to stop wrestling with our brothers and our sisters. Amen? We need to stop wrestling with our brothers and our sisters, because that's all the church seems to be doing, is fighting about this, and this bylaws, and that bylaws, and this and that, and everybody is just kind of wrestling with everybody, and that's not what God wants. And God is after something greater than that. Amen. So today we'll be Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, and we'll start in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, the 4th verse. A tremendous verse here. And here it says, "And then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread down from you, and the whole people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." Now, this is a wonderful miracle where the people, they said, "Did you send us out into the desert so that we may die?" And so, of course, God took that to Moses. And so God says, "I will give you manna." And this is what God is talking about, manna. And manna, literally means, what is it? But this is a wonderful miracle where God has given the people bread. But God did not give them bread so that they may eat it and be satisfied. Let me say that again. God did not give them the manna, nor the quail that he gave later. That wasn't the main reason that God gave them that, because that verse goes on and it says, "That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." But that is an amazing truth right there, that God gave the children of Israel manna as the test. It was the test to see if they would walk in his law. And of course, even the manna, on the sixth day, they had to collect 2 days' worth, because if they got any more, then the canker worms ended up. But this wonderful miracle of brain, of bread raining down from heaven was a test for them. Amen. The wilderness of sin is a training ground. It's a testing ground. And this was the one wilderness where God was trying to work in them obedience. If God cannot get us to be obedient, He can't use us. That's a critical point that we need to understand in our Christian walk. That the wilderness of sin is a training ground. The bread from heaven was a particular provision and an exercise in the people's training. Again, it's training, it's exercise, and obeying. It was their test of obedience. The manna was not about satisfying their physical hunger. The manna was about a test of their obedience. Exodus 24:7 said, "And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord hath said, we will do, and we will be obedient.'" Really? How many times have we said that? Oh, Lord, we even sing a song, we even sing a song, "I Surrender All." Church, and we stand in church and we raise our hand, "I surrender all." Really? Do we surrender all? Wow. I don't know about you. I don't sing that song anymore. I really don't. Because I know in my heart I haven't surrendered all. So I'm not going to stand there and act like I surrendered all. I just don't sing that song. I sing, "Lord, help me to surrender all." But this was a test of their obedience. It was a test to see if they truly would do what God has asked them to do. So God gave them the manna in Exodus 16:4. And then in verse 24:7, they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." But they didn't, did they? They did not. We too will be tested by God to check our obedience. We too will be tested by God. Guess what? Our life is a test of our obedience. People say, "What is life about?" Our life is a test of our obedience. It's not about the situation. It's not about the circumstance that we go through. It's not about the manna and the bread that they ate, stuff like that. That's not the issue to God. To God, our life is a test. And God will test us to check our obedience. Obedience does not come from the spoken, conviction or an intention. Obedience comes through testing. Wow. Obedience comes through testing for everybody. Hebrews 5:8 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered." Talking about Jesus here. Jesus was not given the name above all names, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, because he was God's son. That's not why Jesus got the name above all names. Jesus got that name above all names because he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus learned obedience. Jesus did not have all the knowledge. He had all the knowledge, but he was born. He took off his divinity and put on humanity. And then he had to learn. Even that humanity, he even had to learn obedience. And of course, who did he learn obedience from first? Joseph and Mary. Even as a child. And as he got older and older, Jesus learned. "Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered." Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Wow. And is the servant greater than the master? If Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, and we're going to look at some of the things that he suffered, but if Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, do you think we will not learn obedience through the things that we are suffering? Our life is a test. That's it. It's a test whether we will be obedient to the things that God has for us. One of the objectives of a training program, the wilderness of sin, was to train these people in obedience. This was the main goal of God with the children of Israel in the wilderness of sin. And it's not a wilderness as we will look at if we continue the series. But anyways, the main goal that God was trying to teach them was obedience. This is a very basic element in training for battle. If there is no obedience in battle, there will be no victory. If there's no obedience in battle, there will be no victory. There cannot be any victory. Because the general tells the you know, the privates what to do, and they go do it. And if the privates don't do it, then there will be no victory. Obedience is a must. It is one thing to say that all that the Lord, has said we will do and be obedient. That's very, very easy to say, to be obedient. But it's quite another thing to do it. It's one thing to say it, but we know it's another thing to do it. Words are important. And we also know that words are much cheaper than our actions. You know, this is something that I have learned going overseas. And that is, be careful what I say. Not in ministry as much, be careful what I say, but be careful what I promise. And be careful what I say, because these people are holding on to that. They are believing. And for me to say something and not do it, man, that's worse than slapping somebody in the face overseas. And God has taught me through exercising, saying things and not being able to follow through, to be careful and measure my words with people. And that is so true, because, we can say one thing, as I have in the notes here, words are cheap. They're a lot cheaper than action. They promise God, but in reality, in their heart, their words were far from them. The children of Israel, God, I promise you I will do all that you have asked me. But in reality, as we can see, as we read Exodus, that they were far, their words were far from them. God is not after lip service. He is after a life that will be willing to march to his tomb. Oh, wow. God is not after lip service. He is after a life. He's after our life that will be willing to obedient to what he wants. He is gathering together people who will serve him in reality. He wants people who will do his will rather than those who are willing to talk about it and doing his will. God is not too concerned about people talking about things. He's concerned about people doing things. And God, we cannot do what we want to, what we want to do. This is one thing. The older I get and the more I travel overseas, I see this truth. And God, I can't do what I want to do. And God, I can't go where I want to go. Now, earlier in the home group meeting, we were talking and I was sharing some of the things, some of the problems that I encountered on the way. And, I was talking to this one Indian brother, Dr. Johnson, who I love very, very, very much. He's very, very special to me. And he asked me, he said, did I want to come to India? And I looked at him and I said, now, Dr. Johnson, do you really think I wanted to come to India? And he said, no. And I said, you're absolutely right. I did not want to come to India. I didn't, Brother Darrell. I didn't want to go to India. I had no desire to go to India. I mean, why would I want to leave this? Why would I want to go put up with 101 to 105 temperatures and, a possible, threat on my life? And, why would I want to do that? You got to be crazy to do that. But it didn't matter to me, because I didn't have a choice. It wasn't my choice. I mean, I had to go. God wanted me to go, And God, you can't do what you want to do, and you can't say what you want to say. You got to do what God wants you to do. And you got to, that's what God is after. He's after obedience. And I had to go. And that was, that was just the way that is. In the article that you were reading, as I would go through some difficulties, I would, just petition the Lord in a prayer and ask the Lord, and I would get back, come and go as planned. All is well. And the Lord kept telling me that. And I'm sitting there and I'm shaking and I'm all confused, because of the heat, And I asked the Lord, wow, what's going on here? And he would say, come and go as planned. All is well. And he would let me know that everything is okay, you just keep going. I'll take good care of you. When we do what God wants us to do, then he's going to take care of us. Even though we may walk through some difficult things in our life, but remember, our life is a test. It's a test. It's a test Not can we go through this obstacle and this obstacle, but it's a test. Are we willing to be obedient to God? Are we willing to be obedient to God? There are people who pray about doing His will, and all they do is pray about it. And that is not what God desires. He desires people who will actually do what He wants us to do, who will, in fact, take upon themselves to obey the Word of God. That is what He's after. To obey His Word, you ready for this? For the first time, He speaks. The first time, and not the second time. My teacher, Charles Valland's a teacher by the name of John Wright Follett, and he taught at Western Bible Institute. And he had a desk here, and he had this chair. And so when Bible school students would come in, they would get this chair, and he cut the legs off of the chair. So when the student would sit down in the chair, all the student could do is look up. And the student, at the angle that the student was sitting in the chair, he would look up and he would see a sign. And it would say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And, you know, if you're sitting there, you have to, you know, almost get up on your toes to look at John Wright Follett. But if you slip back in your seat, all you could see is just that sign. Now, John Wright Follett had that sign there, you know, purposely, because that's what God is looking for in our life when He speaks to us. He's not looking for us to grumble and complain and bellyache about this problem or that problem, because, wait a minute, our life is what? It's a test. It's a test of our obedience. And what God is listening for the first time is, "Yes, Lord." When God speaks to us the first time, He's not looking for anything else. His ears is tuned to one thing, and that is "Yes, Lord." How does God get this arrangement? People are not born with it. They must be trained to obey. We must be trained to obey. There is not one person on earth that was ever born with obedience. Even as our children, as they grow up, what do? We teach them. They have to be taught. Training, exercising, and obeying. They must be trained to obey. We must be trained by God to obey His Word. Wow. There is a process of failure and victory, losing and winning in God. And that is that process of training. The process of training and the exercising is when we have victory and then we have defeat. When we lose and we win. That is the exercising. But the bottom line, God is looking in our life is our obedience. I don't know anybody, I've never met any Christian that was always victorious. Now, you may know someone that was always victorious in God, but I have never been always victorious, and I've never met someone that was always victorious in God. Because, there's only one person that I know of, and that was Jesus. And He was the only person that was ever always victorious. But that is a process. There's a process of failure and victory in our life, and there's a process of losing and winning in our life. And God must be able to bring that into our life. He must be able to train us, teach us how to obey, so that we can exercise that, and then we can come into that victory. Amen. When we disobey God, He doesn't collapse in discouragement, defeat, and give up. Oh no. Obedience is not something that is automatic. There is the need of learning obedience. I that will be the theme that we're going to talk about here, is there is a need for us learning obedience. We have to learn to obey. When one is born again of the Spirit of God, it would be just lovely if God somehow just dumped into us that quality of total understanding and unquestionable obedience. But that's not the way He operates. God has a process. And that's a process of failure and victory and winning and losing. But that is not the way God operates, as I said. That is the process that God works in our life. Obedience is a lifelong process. But as we learn, the easier learning becomes. Now, that is a very, very important point here. You need to write that down if you're taking notes. Obedience is a lifelong process in us. Jesus, the entire time He was on earth, He was learning. He was learning obedience, the things that He suffered. Even the death of the cross, the Bible says. But obedience is a lifelong process. But as we learn, as we really get it, as we learn, the easier learning becomes. Amen? When we really get something, when we really learn something in God, then that enables us to learn something else a little easier. And we can see that in our in the lives of our children. When our children really get it, when we teach our kids how to tie their shoe, or we teach them how to eat, or whatever, and as they learn, as they're being trained, and as they get that down, then that enables them to learn something easier, or, I'm sorry, learn something else. So obedience is a lifelong process, but as we learn, as we learn, the easier learning becomes. That's why many people never learn anything in God. It's because they never learn anything. And when you start learning this, and you start learning this principle and that principle, and God's able to open up this truth to you and that truth to you, then you'll be able to learn other things. And it's a very, very important point that a lot of Christians never come into. Amen. How did Jesus learn? Did Jesus say to him, "Let's sit down together and I'll tell you"? You know how I've always been in complete obedience? Oh no. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. How did that work? It did not involve sin, though. But there are many things in which to err that are not sin. Now, the word err, is not error. It's not the word error, E-R-O-R. The word err, is to willfully deceive somebody, or you are willfully deceived. You know you're being deceived. You're being deceived. And so that wasn't the case with Jesus. He was not in error, nor was he in error. He was not willfully deceived. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now notice that little word "and" in between. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible didn't say "for all have sinned," period. It doesn't say "all have come short of the glory of God," period. It says "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. Suffering teaches us obedience. Suffering teaches us obedience. Suffering teaches us mercy. Suffering teaches us compassion. People say, "Why do good things happen?" Or, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" Suffering teaches us obedience. Suffering teaches us mercy. Suffering teaches us to have compassion on all kind of people, on the poor, on the people that have nothing. And, that is a tremendous tool that God uses in our life to go ahead and teach us obedience. And this verse here in Romans 3:23, it's amazing. It talks about coming short of the glory of God. That is not sin. That is not sin. For all have sinned, and now he's talking about coming short of the glory of God. Things that are coming short of the glory of God is our motives that are not right. It's not a sin, but it's our motives that are not right. Our attitudes, wow. Our character, wow. That's what Paul was talking about right here. He's not talking about sin, because you know what sin is, right? Sin is to miss the mark. Sin is to know right but do wrong. That's what sin is, to know right but do wrong. But Paul's not talking about sin here. He's talking about coming short of the glory of God. He's talking about bad motives, bad attitudes, and a bad character. They're not a sin, but that's not what God is looking for in our life. Wow. Sin is not the act. It's not. But sin is disobedience to God. Wow. So, when God says, "Don't commit murder," and someone commits murder, the sin, believe it or not, is not the taking of the life. That's not the sin that God is looking for, looking at. God is looking at the disobedience that we have made in that act. God is looking at the disobedience to his word. God says, "Don't do this," and we do it. That's the sin. And you can point in murder, stealing, adultery, whatever you want to put in there. God says, "Don't do that." And the sin is not the act of doing it. The sin is doing that which God told us not to do. To know right, but do wrong. Wow. To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him That is sin, James tells us in 4:17. Wow. How about our motives? How about our character? Wow. I think in a lot of ways, God is more disappointed when he sees my character sometimes that is not godly. When he sees my motives that are not, not sin, but, they're not really what they, what they need to be. I think God is probably more disappointed in me than in sin, because I'm not sure that my sin was covered by Jesus on the cross, but wow, this area right here, coming short of God's glory, my bad motives and my bad character, boy, that's on me. Amen? That's on me. That's on my obedience there. Amen. Amen. We will never be able to understand the struggles and testing Jesus endured. I'm convinced of that. We think that Jesus endured the cross. He did, and it was very, very difficult. But I believe there were other things that Jesus endured on earth was heavier and harder than the cross. I really believe that. We could never imagine the strain of knowing that he did at the age 25 and having to keep a lid on everything for 8 years. Can you imagine Jesus knowing he was the Son of God at age 25, but he had to wait 8 years before he could begin his ministry? He had to watch people die. He just couldn't operate as Jesus. He couldn't do that. He had to wait. He had to wait, until he started his ministry. No one knows the difficulty he faced in obeying Joseph and Mary while yearning to obey his father. Yes, he suffered more than the cross. We cannot imagine how much suffering he did. He learned. To some degree, we see the extent of his learning by gazing upon his perfect life. He went to school, but not in Jerusalem. He did not sit in a classroom, but he went to school, his father's school, and he learned in the circumstances and the situations that he faced in life. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, they too are learning in circumstances and situation in their life. Remember, our life is a test. It's a test. It's not about the situation. It's not about the circumstance. It's about, are we going to be obedient to what God wants us to do? Jesus needed to learn because he wasn't born with it. He needed obedience to the extent that it became a perfect thing in his life before he began his public ministry. Let me read that again. Jesus needed to learn because he wasn't born with it. He needed obedience to the extent that it became a perfect thing in his life before he began his public ministry. If you are to have a public ministry, you too will have to learn obedience. Now, I hope all of those that are listening over the internet that want to have a public ministry and want to be used of God, and that's a wonderful thing. But like Jesus, you too will have to learn obedience. You will have to go through things. If you want to have a public ministry, you too will have to learn obedience. We too are not born with obedience. We will have to learn obedience. Amen. Jesus was tested and approved before he started his earthly ministry. That was just an amazing, just an amazing truth. Amen. Some parting thoughts. God is always working on perfect obedience in our life. There are particular purposes in God which brings to pass through human instruments. Let me say that again. There are particular purposes which God brings to pass through human instruments. Some of these purposes he cannot fulfill until the obedience comes to the maturity and perfection which is needed in a particular situation. Now, I just said a mouthful right there, but let me tell you one thing. That is so true. There are things that God wants to bring into our life. There are some things that he wants to do in us, but he cannot bring them into us until we learn obedience in different areas. We must come into some areas of obedience the first time, which will be the perfect thing that he has for our life, so that we can so that God can bring the things that He wants to bring Him into our lives. If we want to go on in ministry, we want to do things, we want to travel and do all of these things, there are things that we have to learn in obedience before God can do that. And I can attest to that. There were things that I wanted to do, and I thought I was ready to go, and I thought I was ready to go and do, and well, I was wrong. Because I went and I did, and it fizzled, and it didn't work. There were things that I needed to learn. And as I learned them, then God brought me into some areas and did some things, and I was just amazed to watch things just, you know, just happen. You know, like our trip to India. One person gave me almost $7,000 to go to India. And that paid for all the conference, that paid for our airplane tickets, and it was just, you know, it was something that God did. I didn't do it. I didn't beg. But see, I have learned obedience in these areas, and now God is able to do things that He's supposed to do, which enabled that ministry to happen. And many souls were touched, and many, you know, pastors, and, you know, it was just an amazing time. Amen. Our obedience to God opens the door to God moving in us and on the earth. Our obedience to God opens the door. Many people are waiting for God to open the door. God, do this and do that. Well, you know, God's waiting for us. Our obedience to God in areas in our life, it opens the door to God moving in us and through us upon the earth. The first time He speaks, this is the perfect obedience that God is looking for. The first time that He speaks. He doesn't want to have to keep speaking and talking, and He will, but, you know, He's looking for that, you know, that perfect obedience in us. The first time He speaks, because He knows that if He can teach us obedience, then that door can be opened for Him to move upon the earth. Amen. What would it be like in the ministry of Jesus if He had not learned complete obedience? Wow. We know that He would not have fulfilled the Father's full intention if He had not learned fullness in regards to obedience. Maybe no salvation for man if Jesus didn't learn obedience. Maybe no death on the cross. You know, because even in the garden, Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. Which kind of tells me that Jesus had a will. There was something else that He was thinking about. But He loved His Father enough, and He knew the purpose of His life. And He said, not my will. So there was something there, but thine be done. The difference between obedience and disobedience may be as narrower than a cell split in two. But the result may be two worlds apart. At times, God needs a perfection in obedience that can split a cell in two. He needed that in the life of Jesus. He took 30 years to train Him in order to, you know, to, yeah, He took 30 years to train Him in order to get obedience to operate in Him. Only three years. Wow. Yes, Jesus learned. Not even the disciples knew at the time the narrowness of Jesus' path of obedience. It seemed so natural that much of the supernatural went undetected. Perfect obedience is not understood by many, let alone know the price it will cost through experience. Yes, Jesus knew, He learned, and He paid the price. That last point is just, you know, I mean, it should just grip your heart. Perfect obedience, what God is looking for in our life, is not understood by many. Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, who are the ones that are chosen? The ones that are chosen are the ones that choose God. Not the ones that are called. Many are called, but the ones that are chosen are the ones that choose God, choose to do what God wants to, wants done in their lives. They're the ones that are obedient to God. And when we are obedient to God, then God will choose us and He will use us in what area that we need to be used in. There is a price we will pay to learn obedience, make no mistake. And there is a different price we will pay to learn perfect obedience the first time. You can be obedient, But perfect obedience is when you come into it the first time when God speaks. Yes, Lord. That's what he's listening for. Obedience comes by walking a narrow way with God. Many options lead to disobedience. Only God's way is correct. Only God's way is correct. And of course, wonderful verse in Matthew, you know, that says, enter in the straight gate, for straight is the way, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, broad is the way that leadeth to this destruction there. But obedience comes by walking a narrow way with God, is for sure. And Jesus was not given a name above all names, as I said, because he was God's son. Oh no. He was given that name above all names because he learned obedience. He became obedient, the Bible says, even until the death of the cross. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. The obedience that Jesus, you know, had. And if we too desire to come after him, if we desire to do the things, even the greater things, as he said in him, you know, that he has done, then we too will have to learn that perfect obedience. We too will have to become obedient to the Lord and do the things that he wants us to do. If not, then we'll never ever be able to walk the way that Jesus walked. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for tonight's teaching, Father, Lord God. Lord, I can only speak of myself, Father, Lord God. Lord, I ask that I be more obedient to you, Father, Lord God. In areas, Father, Lord, even areas, Father, Lord, that you know that I wrestle with, Father, Lord God, in my spirit, Father, Lord. Lord, I would ask that you would just help me, Father, Lord God. As the man asked, Lord, help my faith, Father, Lord. But, Lord God, strengthen me with might in the inward man so that I would be more obedient, so that I would be obedient the first time, Father. The first time that you speak, Father, Lord God, I will hear and I will move in the things that you want me to do. And I just thank you and I praise you, Father, Lord, that obedience is just so important in our life, Father. Lord, help us to be more obedient, and we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. Lord, just bless this word, Father, Lord God. Thank you for all the listeners over the internet, Father, Lord God, that email me and thank me, Father, Lord God. And I just thank you, Father, Lord God, for the opportunity to share, Father, Lord, that, Lord, we're touching lives, building for the future, Father, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you, Father, Lord God. We thank you for this time together, Father, Lord. Just bless this word and pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.